Matthew 6, 1 through 13. Again, this is the first sermon in the series on prayer, as we've titled it, Conversations with God. I begin by asking, what is prayer? The Greek word in the New Testament, prosuch, meaning a petition that's addressed to deity, according to Danker's book, written in 2000. And to pray means that we are entering into God's domain. We're daring to enter into the very presence of God. That's quite an audacious task. To dare to enter into God's domain. The spiritual realm. The very presence of God. The mechanics of prayer says it is to access to God through spoken, through sung, read, or even unspoken communication with God. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 19 says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus." This is the how we are, or why we're able to pray. It's because of the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus that's offered upon the mercy seat in heaven on our behalf. We enter into the holy places by the blood of Jesus. Even when our words are insufficient, when our joy is so full, when our troubles are so deep, our pain is so severe, our doubt or confusion is so profound, remember that through prayer we have been invited into the very habitation of God, or the dwelling place of Almighty God. We have been invited into the company of God as God's invited guests, so to speak, His children, and God the Holy Spirit. Even in our fullness of joy, the deepest of our troubles, the severest pain, the most profound doubt or confusion, even in all of that, God the Holy Spirit interprets even our groaning in the Spirit. When words can't be found to express the deepest gratitude of our heart, when words cannot express our profound grief and sorrow, the Holy Spirit, He interprets for us groanings too deep, even for words, according to Romans 8:26. Oh, we can reach the throne of heaven. We can speak to God. Moses thought his speech impediment would prohibit him from being able to be a spokesperson for God, but not so fast. God used Aaron and Moses. We have now our helper, our paraclete, the one who goes alongside of us, the Holy Spirit, who now does what Aaron did for Moses, interprets those deep feelings, so deep that words cannot even express them. Let me say what else prayer is. Prayer is the intentional, sincere communication with the Divine One, that is, Almighty God. When we pray, we are participating in a spiritual exercise that is thousands of years old. We should feel as if we're a part of a great fraternity, so to speak. A fraternity of saints, believers in Almighty God, who have done, and to us now we are doing, praying to Almighty God. It's amazing that in this year, we're still seeing books written on prayer. You would think that after thousands of years of humans praying to God, that we would already know it all and have it conquered and mastered. But no. There are depths of prayer that we have yet to master because, unfortunately, we don't work at prayer as we should. All of God's children have participated in the same exercise called prayer from the very beginning of creation. Now, regarding the nature of prayer, I want to say that prayer is intensely personal. Sometimes when you ask a person to pray and they're not anticipating it, they'll shy away and would prefer that someone else leads that prayer. And sometimes it's because they are shy and intimidated to speak in front of others. But many times, as I've learned, people refuse to pray when given that opportunity publicly because they don't know how to pray. It's amazing over the years how many Christians have confessed to me that they don't know how to pray. And when I heard that said not that terribly long ago, that gave me great interest in preaching this series, because I realized that we often ask people, as spiritual leaders, to do something maybe they're not equipped to do. Prayer is intensely personal. And prayer is at its best seeking God's will regarding a matter or matters, and ultimately God's will and intent for the entirety of our lives. And at its worst, prayer is when we're asking God to approve our agenda. Let me say it again. Prayer at its best is when we are seeking God's will regarding our life. And at its worst, prayer is seeking God's approval of our own personal agenda or will. Now let's just focus on our good intentions. Because we're attempting to discern God's will for us or for others while we're encased in this body of flesh, prayer is admittedly very hard. If it wasn't hard, we would do it more often. Prayer is often hard. It's like work, the more I thought about it, because often it is a battle of two wills. If we really think about it, It's my will versus God's will. It's God's agenda versus Satan's agenda. And we have to be the ones who discern God's will, despite there being other voices speaking to us. Speaking of the challenge of prayer, remember Jesus' deep agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was praying, and that prayer that he prayed, "Father, if it be your will, remove this cup from me." Luke 22:44 says that Jesus prayed and sweat dropped from his brow as if it was great drops of blood. At certain times in our lives, prayer is work. Now admittedly, we have to desire to do God's will in order for prayer to be qualified as work. Because if we're determined to do our own will, then prayer is no work at all. But if we're sincerely seeking to do God's will in our life, accomplish God's purposes through our life, prayer is often hard work. Lord, what is it that you would have me to do? And let me say that few of us, as I mentioned about an individual being asked to pray on the spot or extemporaneously, let me say that most of us, if we're honest, feel inadequate in prayer. An example of this is a book that I was reading not too terribly long ago, and the author, I assume that they meant well and was, I guess, setting themselves up as some sort of authority on the subject which they were writing, thus they wrote the book. But something that I thought was very interesting about prayer, and it was a survey and asking how many pastors pray 10 hours a week, as if that was some kind of measuring stick. In my own mind, I saw that not as some profound measure of a pastor's spirituality. But my question would be, when are you not praying? It pointed out to me that there is a profound ignorance, even with this author, that of what prayer is. It's not measured in the length of time that you spend. So you spend 10 hours a week, so that makes you a super spiritual or a good pastor. How can we afford to live when we're not praying? I agree with Eric Alexander in his book, and he makes this statement, his book Prayer from a Biblical Perspective, when he says this: we all feel a sense of inadequacy when it comes to prayer. And I appreciate him being honest, and I'm being honest because I feel a great sense of inadequacy myself. But let me remind you and myself what prayer is. Prayer is often a shelter in a storm, an oasis in the desert. Sincere prayer says this: I am depending on God. Prayer is also saying, I don't trust myself to make the best decisions. I need God, prayer is saying. Through prayer, we are reminded of God's nearness and we experience God's comfort. In prayer, we remind ourselves by the very nature of prayer itself that we are not God. I am a mere mortal. I am fallible and I prove it every moment of the day. I stand in need of God's help, or I'm depending on the type of prayer we're praying. I am acknowledging God and praising God for God's faithfulness. If this is a prayer of thanksgiving, for example. Proper prayer as a spiritual exercise, should I also say, is a humbling experience. A humbling experience to us, since we are mere mortal beings, yet we find joy in having an audience with God. Prayer is a humbling experience to us, but proper prayer should be an exalting experience for God. God, the Holy Almighty God, is being lifted up through prayer. Let me speak to you for a few minutes about the importance of prayer. Yes, it is one of the fundamental disciplines of every Christian. It is what Christians do, or what we are supposed to do. Prayer is a part of the fabric of the Christian life, and it is essential in establishing a deep, more meaningful relationship with our God. How do we get to know one another as individuals? In very fundamental ways, of course. How do we forge deeper relationships with people who will eventually become our friends, members of our family, or even our spouses? We accomplish relationship through conversation, spending time with that person, talking with them, getting to know them. And getting to know them means we love them more. Hopefully. Prayer is so important to God that Jesus said in Matthew 21, "My house should be called a house of prayer." If you look at prayer as something you have to do, you've got the wrong idea about prayer. You need God, the Holy Spirit, to work on you. To teach you how to pray so that you'll want to pray. Prayer is not something we have to do, but for the Christian, it is something we should want to do. And that is talk to God. I see the faces of people light up often when they see someone that they haven't seen, or perhaps have seen, but they delight to talk to and spend time with. We must grow as Christians and know Christ so well that we delight in prayer and talking to God. Jesus said, "My house should be called a house of prayer." And we see that prayer is likewise important to us as believers when the disciples ask Jesus this question in Luke 11, "Lord, teach us to pray." How could they embark upon doing God's will on earth? Helping to usher in the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven and not pray? These were Christ's disciples, the would-be leaders of his church, and they recognized how important it would be to communicate with the Savior, who is the head of the church. If you're struggling with prayer, struggling with establishing a meaningful, regular prayer life, ask Jesus the same question his disciples asked him. Lord, teach me to pray. It was very important. It was trend setting, although at the time I'm sure they didn't think of it as that. Because the spiritual life of a spiritual leader, is only as strong as his or her spiritual or prayer life. In my estimation, there is no such thing as a strong spiritual leader who is not a person of prayer. A person may have a church office, but that does not make them a spiritual leader. Now let me shift for a moment and talk about the geography of prayer. Where do I pray? Anywhere. In Luke 5, Jesus withdrew to a wilderness, and he did that more than once. It's also recorded in Matthew 6, I believe. Peter prayed on a rooftop in the book of Acts chapter 10. And it says this: the next day as they were on their journey and approaching the city, he went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. Chapter 16, Paul and Silas prayed while they were jailed. Acts 7, Stephen prayed as he was being stoned. Acts 17 says this, 17:30, therefore, although God has overlooked such times of ignorance, he now commands all people everywhere to repent. You know, we repent, it's a form of prayer. Peter was summoned to Dorcas' house in Acts chapter 9 and went inside the house and there in her home prayed. Dorcas was brought back to life. I'm reminded in Luke 18 that the Pharisee and the publican prayed in the temple. In Daniel 6, Daniel went up into an upper room in his house and prayed and faced Jerusalem. We know the famous story of Jonah in Jonah 2, where he was in the belly of the whale and prayed. You can pray anywhere. You can talk to God any place. We don't need a license. We don't need a permit. No one even needs to know we're praying. God's attentive to us anywhere, anytime, in any place. Prayer is not restricted to the church building, but prayer is a tool for regular fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Prayer, in other words, should be a way of life. If it helps you to set certain times of the day to pray, that's wonderful. That's a wonderful discipline. Daniel, as we mentioned, prayed three times a day. And in the Jewish culture, that is the norm, that they prayed three times a day. It's actually the norm in the Islamic world as well. Prayer should be seen as a way of life or a lifestyle. The more we know God and the more we know ourselves, we will find ourselves motivated to pray more often, because having a keen, honest sense of ourselves and our shortcomings, and at the same time see the perfect majesty of our God, I am driven to my knees in prayer. Paul said, "Oh, sinful man that I am." Why pray? Well, in conjunction with God's word, prayer allows us to become familiar with God's personality. The way God works, in other words, the way God is working in my life, And I noticed the prayer of Paul regarding the thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 9. And in this passage, Paul learns why God allows some things to exist in his life. Because he had just told the church at Corinth about the wonderful visions he had seen, too wonderful to even talk about. He couldn't provide any details. And he himself was concerned about becoming arrogant. And he learned why God allowed this thorn in the flesh, as it's called, to exist in his life. He learned something valuable. He learned that something evil, that was a messenger of Satan, as he called it. It was used to further bring glory to God in Paul's life, in that the thorn in the flesh would not allow him to become arrogant. It kept him grounded. It kept him God-focused and not self-centered. Do you have a thorn? Do you have a thorn in your flesh? And if so, are you allowing it to be used for the glory of God? Prayer is massively neglected in our churches because so many people, as I alluded in the beginning of my sermon, did not know how to pray. The one thing that prayer can and so often does for those who pray, it moves mountains. It brings healing to both body and soul. It opens up the very resources of heaven to those of us on earth. It gives peace of mind to those going through storms of poor relationships or lack of income or a poor sense of direction and a multitude of other things. And the prayer of faith is the very thing that releases the power of God in our life. The one who created the sun and placed it 93.339 million miles from the earth, he is the one who answers the call when we dare to call upon him in prayer. The very God who created the stars and flung them into space, all 100 billion of them as it's estimated, and according to the Bible, God has given each of them a name. He determines the number of stars. He gives them all their names, Psalm 147:7 says. And that same God is the one who hears you and me when we pray. The same God who knew us before we were formed in our mother's stomachs. The one who numbers the hairs on our head and in Luke 12. He's the one who gives attention to you when we pray. It is the God who knows whenever a sparrow falls to the ground and dies. Yet not one of them falls to the ground without your Father's consent. Matthew 10. This is the one we have an audience with when we pray. Let me close by telling you a story that I read. Again, it's Eric Alexander's book. It tells a story of his father asking his brother to lead the family in prayer over a very important decision that had to be made. When his brother had finished praying and he left the room, Eric said to his parents, "He speaks to God as if he really knows him." And Eric's mother said, "I think he does." So when you pray, Christian, pray as though you really know God. Because you do. After all, he's the one who saved us, isn't he? Isn't he the one who's providing for you and me right now? And has provided for us all of our lives? Did the alarm clock awaken you this morning, or did the Lord God awaken us to another day rather than allowing us to perish through the night? Pray like you know God. And don't worry about saying the wrong words, because the Lord knows you and He knows me. And because He knows us so well, He knows what you mean, even though we might not be able to say it. Even when we can't say it exactly correctly. Oftentimes in conversation, I'll begin saying something and Cynthia will finish the sentence. She finishes the sentence because she knows me. So does the Lord. If Cynthia can finish my conversation, my sentence, then certainly the Lord also can finish yours and mine, because He knows us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You because You know us and we know You. Help us that as we search the Scriptures, that You would help us to have a deeper appreciation for prayer, that we would repent over our lack of prayer, and at the same time be motivated by Your grand invitation to enter into Your presence. Enjoy the warmth of Your nearness and pray. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.